This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Christmas is often a time of happiness, but for many young people, it can amplify loneliness, stress, and anxiety. New research from the Youth Empowerment Fund shows that 1 in 4 teenagers are turning to AI chatbots for mental health support, drawn by instant anonymous help. With growing numbers of young people struggling, particularly those affected by violence or trauma, the findings raise serious questions about the role of AI in mental health care. I'm joined by Mike Mansfield, Communications Manager at Jigsaw, about why young people are turning to technology, the risks involved, and how human-led support can make a difference this Christmas and beyond. Welcome to iRadio's group chat, Mike. Thanks so much for jumping on. Research showing that 1 in 4 teenagers turn into AI chatbots for mental health support. What does that tell you about how young people are feeling right now?
Look, they're in need of support. I think that's clear and obvious. We at Jigsaw, we see that day in, day out. We've seen demand for our therapy increase really significantly, particularly over the last 6 months. We're trying to put our finger on it around what's going on, what's the main driver, and there's probably no simple and straight answer. I think if you look around the system, wait times are becoming a real issue in other parts of the system, and less so with Jigsaw. In fact, at Jigsaw, wait times continue to fall due to a lot of innovation and change that we've taken on. But also, I think it probably speaks to the kind of growth in the presence and the use and the influence of AI as a tool that helps people through a range of different aspects of their lives, be it learning, be it seeking support, etc. And often it's younger generations and younger people who are the early adapters to new technologies, and AI is certainly one of them.
Because of it being instant, and when it comes to mental health as well, it's anonymous help. You know, it's obviously appealing to young people probably in that way. But from Jigsaw's perspective, what are the risks of relying on AI for mental health support, especially if a person is in a crisis situation?
Sure. Absolutely. Look, at firstly, you're dead right. The immediacy of AI, of putting in a list of feelings, thoughts, potential diagnoses, and getting really an instant response is very attractive. That's the sort of world we live on. Is an on-demand. It is a I would like some information. I'd like some entertainment, but I kind of want it now. You know, so we see that with consumption of traditional media, etc. So the immediacy is definitely attractive. I think, look, at there from Jigsaw's point of view, AI can absolutely have a role in mental health. I think increasingly it's going to have to here in Jigsaw, as across the system. Leveraging technology is really important, and kind of viewing it as a supplement to, as opposed to replacement to, human professional support is something that we're going to have to get comfortable with. But there are risks. I mean, the first one is, you know, AI isn't always right. And that's just the fact, regardless of how accurate we put in our ask of an agent or a bot. The information that comes back can often have inaccuracies in it, and particularly when we talk about mental health and seeking support, something that is so crucially important, inaccuracies are dangerous. AI still remains not massively tightly regulated. So again, the information that it feeds and brings back to you isn't always from sources that are fully reputable, fully regulated. AI support isn't designed for clinical use. It is AI remains a commercial tool. So sometimes the interests that lies within are not always for you. And also, I suppose, increasingly, and we find this with young people, given that costs and cost of living is difficult, we see a fairly widespread use of free-to-use AI agents and bots. And that's problematic because the data that's inputted there isn't always as safe or isn't always as safeguarded as we hope. So there's a number of potential risks. But again, at Jigsaw, we'd say, look, it isn't, oh God, run a mile. It has no role. It has to have a role. And I think increasingly it's something that young people are comfortable with. And if they're using it, then ourselves at Jigsaw and other service providers need to be there and need to be aware of its potential value in delivering the vital care that young people need.
It's interesting you say there as it like as a supplementary tool alongside human-led intervention. It probably is going to head that way for sure, if it hasn't already in some places. But if there is a young person who feels more comfortable possibly opening up to the likes of a chatbot than an actual counsellor, how can the services like Jigsaw help bridge that gap and make the real life sport feel less intimidating that it can sometimes feel to somebody?
Sure. And look, that's you know, that might sound like, you know, less intimidating, except it mightn't sound heavy, but it really is. I think one of the key barriers that we see among young people around accessing Jigsaw is, Jesus, I have to pick up a phone here and I've got to talk to somebody and I've got to verbalize and tell them my story. And that in itself can be hugely intimidating for somebody. And it's something that we're really conscious of. We did a fairly big piece of work that kicked off about two and a half years ago, looking at how do we leverage all that, you know, technology in the round, including AI, can support in what we're trying to do. And one of the big areas was accessibility. How can we remove that intimidatory barrier of, I've got to pick up a telephone, I've got to dial in numbers, and I've got to introduce myself and my challenges. So how we do it in Jigsaw, there's a number of ways. Now that ingress into Jigsaw, be it in across any of our 19 services, one can choose to do that digitally, so they can tell their story digitally. What we're finding, but we've a list of questions, and what that does is it allows our therapists, when they receive that information, to really take time to analyze it and to make some careful decisions around what's the next step for this young person. Do we invite them in for in-person care? If so, do we do that alone? Do we bring in mom and dad? Do we recommend they potentially access our live chat service, which is an online service that is available to anybody in the country, that is staffed by humans, it is staffed by our trained professional clinicians across the country? Or do we refer them on? Do we make some recommendations about resources that they should use? So it's a key barrier. And trying to find ways to leverage tech and leverage AI to try and address that barrier is really important. It's something we're making a lot of time and effort and investment in, and thankfully we're making really good inroads because we're seeing different referral patterns from different type of people. We're looking at kind of that older cohort, particularly of older male teenagers and young men who are particularly kind of affected by that, you know, that intimidation bit. So it's a work in progress, but it's something that's so far proving some dividends for ourselves and hopefully for the young people who are using our services.
I know that you're working with young people aged 12 to 25, aren't you?
That's great.
Yeah. What are you hearing from young people that you're working with about, you know, on topics like AI and social media? Yeah. Is it something that is coming up at all?
It is. I mean, you know, firstly, we'll this year, all indications are that in the region, about 11,000 young people will cross the threshold of a Jigsaw service. That'll be our busiest ever year. While we analyze the data and we try and identify trends, firstly, every single young person that comes to us comes with a different story, and they come with a different background, a different set of circumstances that have led them to Jigsaw. So it's very rare that a young person will sit in front of one of our therapists and say, the reason I'm here is because of social media or my addiction to insert whatever. But when we start to pick through the issue that the young person is facing, or indeed kind of what's happening around them in their environment, some of these themes are coming in around their relationship with social media, around the impact on, for example, sleep is coming up again and again because of the difficulty that young people are finding around disconnecting from, be it social media, be it a gaming platform, be it some form of a relationship with a digital device. I was with a team not too long ago in one of our services, and they shared a story that I must say frightened the bejeenie out of me. It was around there was a young person who had come to them, and the broad issue was that this young person was finding it very difficult to to find some mates and was experiencing loneliness and withdrawal and was really sort of experiencing low self-esteem and was really struggling to kind of find the tribe and make some decent connections at school. So they worked with some of our therapists over a period of a couple of weeks, and our guys had given them some supports on how to establish a relationship. And fast forward every couple of weeks, when the young person was returning, there was mention of a relationship that had been established, and it was all, you know, the other person was named, and it was very positive. And it was only near the end, our clinician had some suspicions, and it was only near the end of a number of sessions with the young person that it came to light that actually the relationship wasn't with another human, but it was with a bot. It was with an AI agent that had that the young person had kind of developed a relationship with. And I think for that was something of a bit of a wake up around. It's something that we need to be really mindful of and really just question around how do we look at this? What are the questions that we ask? So certainly, as I said, while very few people come to us, I'm here because of, you know, something related to technology or my relationship with us, it is increasingly seeping into a large number of the sessions that we have with young people.
I can imagine stories like that are going to probably become more of a trend, possibly in the coming months and years, for sure, because I have started to hear developments about stories like that. But, you know, young people in general, look, they're struggling anyways with things if they are coming to your services, your door. But the pressure of being happy at Christmas, I know that's also something that can be tricky. What would you say to a teenager or young person who might be listening this evening who feels like they're the only ones not enjoying the festive season?
This is certainly something that that we do hear around a sort of a dread around Christmas because of the what can be deemed the sort of artificial desire for contentment. And it's the time where joy and festivities and parties and family time and coming together, and often that can lead to a lot of anxiety, people having this kind of forced expectation that's going to be the best Christmas ever. And often for some, it can really lead to a lot of dread and anxiety around how they're going to cope with it. I mean, the first thing we'd say, as we'd say to any young person who's experiencing any sort of problematic relationship, is just call it out. Find somebody in your circle, in your life, be it a friend, be it a mom or dad, be it a teacher, an educator, somebody that you can trust and somebody that you can say, I'm sorry, but I'm really not looking forward to this. I'm dreading it. And just talk it out. You're certainly not on your own. So don't feel like, Jesus, I can't say this because, you know, quote unquote, everybody has a good time at Christmas. They don't. We know that particularly those who may have experienced grief around this time, it can be a really difficult time and it can really exacerbate the loss that somebody feels. So certainly not on your own in terms of where to go for some supports. If there isn't somebody that you trust, certainly take a look at jigsaw.ie. We've got some really good supportive articles there around how to deal with it and measures that one can take. You don't have to engage with one of our therapists to delve into that. All available on our site and jigsaw.ie. If you want to have a chat through it, feel free to do so anonymously through our live chat service, or give us a call at one of our services, pop in, have a chat there. We're here to support and navigate you through it. But yeah, it's sometimes that's a difficult one for people to kind of grasp and get their head around. It's like, surely this should be one of the best times of the year, but for many it simply isn't.
Finally, for you, Christmas is a time of giving at its centre, of course. How can people follow along with Jigsaw's work, support it, spread awareness so more young people know where they can turn to?
It is indeed, and Christmas is a really busy time for us. It's a time where we launch one of our biggest fundraisers. Jigsaw is a charity. The services and supports that we provide, we do so for free. It's a time where we seek to kind of ask for help from people across the country to donate to our work. They can do so on jigsaw.ie/donate or just jigsaw.ie and they'll find a way to make a donation. We'd really appreciate it. Also, jigsaw.ie has all the details of our services, has a route into how you can access our live chat. but also has a range of supportive articles that are all written and produced by our clinicians. So in terms of fully regulated, fully kind of evidence-based content that can support you. So if you need support, we're here. If you're ready to kind of reach out and talk, we're certainly here to listen. And if you're in a position to give us a hand this year through a donation, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Mike, thank you so much for all of that information and for joining me on iRadio's group chat this evening, and wishing you all the best now coming up to Christmas. And I'm sure we'll catch up again in the new year.
Sounds good. Happy Christmas to yourself and all your listeners.
This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.